How's everybody doing? Yeah, you guys okay? Well, rest assured, we have something very special in store for y'all today. Now, normally, each week, we have one speaker that comes up, whether it's Pastor Joe or a guest speaker, and that's awesome. We love Pastor Joe, don't we? Yeah, we do, we do. We do, Pastor Joe. But you know what? Every week, having one speaker is like going out to eat, and they bring your plate, and there's just 5 pounds of steak on the plate, and that's it. It sounds good, doesn't it? All right, that's a great, or it's just a bucket of mashed potatoes. I mean, those are all good things. We love mashed potatoes, we love steak, but occasionally, wouldn't it be nice to your plate comes out, and you got a little bit of steak, you got a little bit of mashed potatoes, you got a little green beans, maybe, you got a little bit of ice cream, maybe a little glass of wine, grape juice. Got you a glass of grape juice? Well, that's what we got in store for you today. We got a 5-course feast for you today. Are you excited about that? Yeah, very good, very good. The 5 courses today are 5 individual members of our congregation. These are our people. It's you and me. We're going to be speaking to ourselves, speaking life over this congregation today. It's going to be amazing. So let me just tell you what's going to happen. Each of the 5 speakers is going to have 7 minutes to come up here to hit you with the Word of God and to make an impact. So they're going to need a little bit of help from you. Are you okay to do that? Can you help these guys out? Good. What they're going to need is your participation. They're going to need your enthusiasm. They're going to need your excitement. If they say something that you agree with, and they will, I can guarantee it, I need you to stand up. I need you to holler. I need you to say something. I need you to give them a little bit of feedback. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? Yes. So keep that level of enthusiasm, and it's going to be an amazing morning. Our first speaker, she's a true rarity. She really is. She's a titan of industry. She's a corporate giant. She's a business owner, and she's a pillar of the Dallas community. But she's also a spiritual giant. She's got wisdom and revelation far beyond her years. She can tell you which insurance products that you need. And she can also give you the eternal cure for everything that ails you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she can do it in the same office visit. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, put your hands together for our very own Yvette Westers.
If I say a scripture, I'm going to open up with Psalm 26:3.
You go, girl.
Yeah. I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. And so the title of my message is The Faithfulness of God Regarding Your Future. Have you ever felt like you've been praying for something for a really long time, believing for something for a really long time? And the more you go through life, it's like it's going the opposite direction. Like the things I expected to happen by this age haven't happened yet. I know what that's like. When I was 21 years old, I got engaged for the first time. And about 8 weeks before the wedding was set to happen, I found out he was cheating on me. And so we broke up, we called off the wedding, life went on. And when I was 28, I got engaged again. And I thought, surely no one has 2 broken engagements in their lifetime, right? Nobody calls off a wedding 2 times in their life 8 weeks before the wedding. I have. So for the second time in my life, I thought all these things were going to happen for me, and they didn't. And so rather than dealing with the emotional stuff, I decided maybe it was time to finish the master's degree that I had started. But during that dark time in my life, I, through a sequence of events, had met some friends who invited me to a night of worship at Dallas Baptist University. And at DBU, I met Hope McLaughlin, who used to be here. And that's important for a future part of the story. So just keep that in mind. So I went back to school, and I wrapped up my master's degree, and I thought, oh, great, now I'm going to start this amazing profession, and I'm going to be a counselor / therapist. My master's degree is in counseling psychology. I took my licensing exam, and I passed it when it's a really hard test. So I was like, you know, surely this means the Lord is with me and I'm going to be a counselor. And so I applied for jobs. Nobody wanted to pay me. They all wanted me to volunteer my hours. And because I was still a single young adult, I couldn't afford that. I had to pay my own bills. I had to support myself. So I continued working in the office where I had always worked as a receptionist all through my undergraduate and graduate studies. And so through all of that, I was really frustrated and I was walking around heartbroken. And there were times where maybe you're at today that I was dragging, I mean literally like crawling to the feet of Jesus and crawling into church because I was so discouraged, but I had just a teeny tiny ounce of faith left, probably the size of a mustard seed. I was still believing that God was going to be faithful to me because I knew that I had seen his faithfulness before. I had read about it in the life of Joseph and how Joseph had gone through so much hardship, but then eventually he saved a nation. And I knew that I had seen God's faithfulness in my own life whenever I was about to have to leave college because I didn't have the funds to pay for it. And then a few days later, wound up with a refund check in my mailbox because I had gotten a grant that I had never even applied for. And so because of those little things that had happened throughout my life, I knew that God had never left me and he wasn't going to leave me. And I knew Romans 8:28 to be true, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I also knew that God was faithful because of my salvation story. I had been a pretty rebellious teenager, and one day, two unexpected girls from my high school followed me home. They told me about their salvation story. They told me about God's forgiveness and that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I accepted him as my own that day. And because someone had gone out of their way to tell me the story of salvation and God had provided a way for me to know that salvation, I knew he was going to provide the things that I wanted. And he doesn't disappoint us, ever. So there were days, like I said before, that I was dragging myself to the feet of Jesus, but I kept on. I never gave up. I never turned my back. I kept trusting him, even when life was messy. And so all of those jobs that rejected me positioned me to open a business with my sister at the age of 35. Our business is now starting to thrive. We have some really exciting things coming in the next couple of years. And I'm just so thankful for where we are right now. And all of those broken hearts and two broken engagements led me to the man that I'm married to today. And I will tell you that going through all of that, I would go through all of it again to be married to the type and quality of man that he is. So the way we met was through Facebook, and one of our mutual friends, wouldn't you guess it, was Hope McLaughlin. And when I saw that Hope McLaughlin was a mutual friend, I thought, piqued my interest a little bit more because I knew the quality of person that Hope was. And so even in my darkest time, God was connecting all of the dots. Before I even knew it, even when I didn't understand, he was writing my story. And it's amazing now to think back that that one connection truly was the reason why I looked more into Nicholas's Facebook and sent him a friend request. So Nicholas and I started dating when I was 36. We got married when I was 38. And that's really not how I would have planned out or written my own life. But had I met him before and had I opened a business before, I probably wouldn't have stewarded it well. And God knew when I was going to be ready. So it's always seemed that God has been late for me, but actually he's been right on time. And some days I look at my life and I feel like Michael Jordan. And I'm thankful for everyone who rejected me. And I'm thankful for all of the jobs that didn't accept me, because now he gets all of the glory. And he has placed me exactly where he wants me to be and with the husband that he wanted me to have. And there are things that I'm still praying and believing for. But because he's provided in such amazing ways in my life, I know that he's going to be faithful with my father's salvation and with other things that my husband and I are praying for in our professional careers and our personal lives too. So whatever you're facing today, even if you're holding on by a thread and dragging yourself to the feet of Jesus and dragging yourself to church week after week, don't give up, because there will be a turnaround, and our God is always faithful. His ways are higher than ours, and his plans are always the best. God bless you guys.
Put your hands together. Woo! Now, was that good or what? Awesome. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Well, we're going to keep this going. Our next speaker, the odds are that you've been deeply affected by him. The odds are that at some point in time, your face has been melted off by one of his screaming guitar solos in this room. But guess what? Your faces are getting ready to be melted off one more time with the word of God. His name is Jonathan Rector. Put your hands together.
That doesn't count against my time. Of course I would trip. Why wouldn't I trip? Sorry, I'm still a little out of breath from worship. I missed the keto train when everybody got on it, so I'm still a little... I'm going to get it next time. Joke one. So I didn't know, actually, we were supposed to have themes and titles, and you did such an amazing job. That was incredible. So... if I had to come up with a title for this message, it would be Circumstances and Breakdances. So that's what we'll talk about today. And we'll have Ben get up and breakdance at the end of this. So I want to kind of begin with something that my mom has told me often and repeatedly throughout the years. And that is, son, you always get where you want to be in life. You just pick the hardest way possible to get there. And this is universally true. If it was, school, son, just all you got to do is just go to school when you're supposed to go, study when you're supposed to study, treat people like they want to be treated, and you'll be fine. And it's almost as if I sat down and I raised my hand. And I said, okay, no, that's great. That sounds simple. But is there a harder way? Like, is there a more difficult way than that? Because that's what I want. And my imaginary parents are like, well, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I suppose if you wanted to, you could start drinking when you were a teenager. You could skip a lot of school, maybe get arrested a couple of times, and then, just kind of generally destroy your life. That's one option. I'm like, perfect. I will take that. That is good. I always pick the hard way. But you know what? Before we get any further, at the top of this, I just want you to keep one thing in mind, and that's... Jeremiah 1:5, and that is, God said, I knew you before you were formed in the womb, and before you were born, I set you apart. So keep that in mind as we go throughout this story, because I want to draw a couple of parallels. I always took the hardest road, because I'm an idiot. So my wife and I became Christians about 4 years ago, and I said, you know what, I've never read this Bible thing. Yeah. Seems like I oughta. And then I picked it up, and it's really long. I mean, the Bible is so long. But it's like, no, forget it. I'm going to read it. So I get to the Old Testament, and I start going through it. And I guess in the past I wasn't ready for it, but like, I don't know if you guys have really been through the Old Testament. It's awesome. It's like, it's Game of Thrones on crack. I mean, it is like nothing you've ever experienced. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have a hard time relating to this. But you know what? I didn't. Because I remember reading, this is in Exodus, right? So the Israelites, they've just left Egypt. Yeah, God calls down all the plagues, all these miraculous things. Let my people go. You've seen the movie. That's how it is. Everybody leaves. Then the Pharaoh's army comes after him, right? And so God says, Moses, take your staff, put it in the sea, wave your hand, razzmatazz, and I will part the waters. Everybody will get through. The army will be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened. Meanwhile, the Israelites, they see all of this. At that point, they go to Mount Sinai. And this is awesome, because God is up at the top of Mount Sinai. And God, I don't know if you know this, in this story, is not hard to miss. He takes up the entire top of the mountain in a dense, fiery cloud, right? And not only that, But you can hear him too. Like, he disguises his voice because he wants the people to be able to hear him, although if they really heard him, they would be consumed in a fiery death. So kind of like one of those voice things. At any rate, so Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai, and the Lord gives him a choice. He says, well, not really a choice. He just lays it out. He says, look, worship me, and I will lead you to the promised land, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. I will vanquish your enemies. You will be fruitful and multiply. You can have the whole world. You can have it all. All you have to do is worship me. Sounds pretty simple. So, good. So, Moses treks it back down the mountain. He says, everybody, good news. Like, I just talked to the Lord. Here's the deal. All we got to do is worship him. We will get milk and honey. There will be frisbee golf. Like, everybody will have a Chrysler. You can eat all the Mexican food that you want, and you won't gain any weight. That's where we're going, you guys. And they say, we're in. So Moses goes back up. He's like, hold on, I got to go get some details. So he goes back up the mountain. Meanwhile, keep in mind, God is still right there, still in a dense, fiery cloud, like right there. But Moses is gone a little bit longer than what he's supposed to be. And this is where I can really relate to the Israelites. And so, all this miraculous stuff they've just witnessed. And their response is like, wow, Moses is, he's been gone a while. I'm not sure he's coming back. Maybe we should get a different God. Aaron, what can you do for us? And Aaron's like, this is a strong move, Israelites. I support this. Let's burn all your gold. We'll make a golden calf. He'll be the new God. And so that's what he did. And now, needless to say, God is not happy about this. There's a plague and death, and it's bad. But, like, I could really relate to that, right? Like, you know, you can just worship me easy. All good things will flow. Like, or you could pick the hard way. And that's what the Israelites picked. They picked it a lot. That was the greatest part about the Old Testament. It's like, you would just read something that the Israelites did, and you'd just be like, why? Why would you do that? And then I had to remember that that's what happened in my life, right? I said that over and over again. Why would I do that? And here's the reason. This is what I learned. God knew me before I was born. He knew my heart, and he knew the circumstances that I needed to bring me to a place of submission where I'd finally, once and for all, rely on him and no one else. So if you don't know me, the last time I had a drink of alcohol was March 9th, 2014. I don't have time. Thank you. I had nothing to do with it, I assure you. This was all God. I don't have time to get into all the circumstances leading up to that moment. What I can tell you is that I tried to quit hundreds of times on my own, and that things were very, very bad. I was a heavy drinker. I drank every day. I was angry. I was violent. And if you know me now, this doesn't sound like me. I was suicidal. The one thing that I remember is that I woke up every day and my one thought, and this was truly every day, is that I just don't want to live anymore. And so that's where God found me. And I didn't believe in God at this point. I was too caught up in my own thing. I was too smart to believe in God. But when I was faced with that choice, my circumstances were so bad that I just, there was a little crack that formed. And I said, you know what? I'm either going to die today or I'm going to get down on my knees. And I'm going to ask God to help me. And that's exactly what I did. And I'd love to say that, like, everything was just, like, magically, I didn't have to drink anymore. My marriage was restored. And everything, you know, went great from that point out. That's not what happened. But what happened was that initial act of faith that I had. And the realization that I couldn't do it until things got so bad, until I'd made so many mistakes. And folks, God is not a reactionary God. Right? Like, he doesn't react to things. He knows everything is going to happen. He knew that the Israelites were going to make a golden calf, right? He didn't react to that. He knew that when they finally saw Canaan, that they were going to say, oh God, why have you forsaken me? We can't possibly go get all this frisbee golf. There are giants over there, right? He knew that, just like he knew my heart, because he knew when I was formed in the womb the exact circumstances that needed to be in my life before I would finally turn to him. I'm a little over my time, and this is not going to count. So my wife and my two boys, they're out of town, and they're watching online, so I'm just going to say hi, and I love you guys. Yeah. You all know that there have been other miracles and other testaments of faith in my life. So But the one thing that I want to say is when I was praying about this yesterday, God told me, he told me that there would be somebody in the congregation today and they would be in that same position where their circumstances were so bad that they knew in their heart that they had no choice but to turn to God. So I just want to encourage anybody who is there, who is feeling that. And look, I get all the reasons that you have to not get on your knees, but just stop it. You know, just if you want to talk to me about it, if you want to talk to any of the pastors, please do. But just get on your knees and make that prayer. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. That was so good. What a great testimony of the faithfulness of God, even when we're far from Him. That was amazing. Should we keep this going? Yeah, let's keep it going. Have you ever met anyone that just, they seem so nice and sweet and kind on the outside, but then the circumstances of life happen, difficult things come, and you find out that inside they are made of titanium. You ever known anyone like that? Our next speaker is just like that. She's the nicest, sweetest, kindest person that you'll ever meet. But when you find out what she's really made of, you think, man, I would not want to mess with this lady. I would not want to mess with her. You'd be picking with the wrong person. She's made out of steel, but she's your friend and she's my friend. Her name is Kim Cordius. Put your hands together.
How are you guys? Well, I just want to start off with a shameless plug. I love this church. And the community that we have here is amazing. My husband and I met at this church. Yeah. And you guys have seen us through really great times and some really hard times. And so I just want to thank you all. And I want to encourage those of you out here that have not connected yet or haven't planted yet, I encourage you to do so because it's really one of the best decisions that I've made in my life. So when I was preparing to speak today, I was honestly struggling with a lot of insecurity and doubts because I don't normally do this sort of thing. But the Lord spoke to me and he reminded me of Revelations where it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And God reminded me that our testimonies are anthems of his faithfulness. And I hope my story encourages you guys. And I hope that it reminds you that he is always faithful, even when we aren't. And even when we doubt. And even when we're afraid. He is still faithful. So just for winding to last October, I was working full-time as a registered nurse. I had just started my master's program to be a nurse practitioner. We had just celebrated my 27th birthday, and my husband and our wedding anniversary, our first one, was right around the corner. And it was a happy time. We were doing really well, but underneath it all, I was carrying a lot of stress. I was feeling really overwhelmed by everything that I had taken on. And on the outside, you know, I thought I was doing well because it looked like I had everything under control, which, as we all know, that's hardly ever the case. And if I were really honest, I would say that I was proud of myself. I had a lot of pride that I was able to do it all, and I was holding on to that. And while I believed in the faithfulness of God, I wasn't really depending on him during that season. It was kind of like my life was just a bunch of spinning plates and, you know, a small breeze could have easily knocked them all down. And that very large hurricane came in the form of a lump that my doctor discovered at one of my doctor's appointments. She was fairly sure that it was benign, but she wanted me to check it out. And 4 days later, I got the words that no one ever wants to hear, that you have cancer. In that moment, my mind was just overwhelmed with questions and confusion. I really put a lot of blame on myself. I wondered, what did I do wrong to get breast cancer at 27 years old? What didn't I do right? Why, God, is this happening? Am I going to live? What's going to happen with our future? And the next month after that was just a blur of scans and doctor's visits. I had a small tumor, but it was operable, and so I was looking at surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. After getting all that information, I knew that this was something that I was not going to be able to handle on my own. And I realized that I needed to put all of this on the Lord because my husband and I could not carry this. And so I prayed to him. I prayed with full faith that he could heal me miraculously, but I told him that if he wanted me to go through the fire of this treatment, that I would need daily strengthening, daily renewal of my mind, my body, and my heart. And even during that season, the faithfulness of the Lord was so apparent. When my husband and I shared with our friends and our family, I was so encouraged by everyone who rallied behind us. I received messages from people that I hadn't heard from in years who were offering prayers, financial support, all of that. And it was such a beautiful picture of the church. It was such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. No one made me feel condemned for the worries that I felt and the fears, but all of them pointed me back to the Lord's goodness. And I needed that at that time. I needed to be reminded of his goodness. One of the first big moments that I can remember is during Fast Week, and that was the week that I started to lose my hair after chemo started, and I shaved my head the day before one of the evening services, and I remember the next day I came, and everyone was just so encouraging and supportive, and just wrapped me in love, and it truly made all the difference. So I'm obviously consolidating some of this because I only have 7 minutes, but I would be lying if I didn't say that these last 8 months of treatment weren't the most difficult time of my life. I deeply mourned the loss of my body as I saw it. I struggled with my insecurities. I felt weak and sick sometimes, even if I didn't show it. There were lots of mornings where I cried in the shower or we cried together. But I'm here to tell you that he has never forsaken me. And he hasn't forsaken you. Even when I was so tired and so frustrated and I didn't want to go to the Lord, he met me where I was. He would give me an encouraging word from a friend. He would speak to me during worship. I, cry every week on Sundays during worship because the songs aren't just words anymore. They're really my heart's cry. And so I stand now before you on the other side of treatment, and I'm thankful that God has carried me through this time. Yeah. I'm very thankful. And God understands that we have fears, but he just wants us to release them to him. And for me, this is a daily process. But as I cast my burdens on him, he restores us and gives us new mercies every morning. And so just finishing up, I love what Pastor Ben shared last week about the eternal hope that we have in the Lord. This life here on earth is important, but this is not the end all. We have the hope of heaven, and there's no pain and there's no sickness there. But while we're here and we're journeying through this earth, I encourage you just to cast all of your fears and your doubts and your worries on the Lord. He is still in control of your life. He's not surprised when something goes wrong. He has seen every moment laid out before you were even born. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that. I want to encourage you guys to entrust your dreams of the future onto him because he's going to see those things to fruition. He's a faithful father. And so I just want to thank you, all of you guys.
Put your hands together for Kim Cordius. Great job. Was that good or what? Man, amazing, amazing. You guys have room for two more? Yeah, this is really good, isn't it? Our next speaker, she is a woman of power. She's a woman who speaks with authority. When she ministers, mountains move. When this woman prays, I'm telling you what, things happen. When she commands, you sit up and take notice. And when she says jump, even the devil himself says, how high? And she's got a word from the Lord for you today. Put your hands together for our very own Audrey Wyatt.
Thank you so very much. So I want to talk to you today about two simple words that are the hardest to do. Trust God. Over 20 years ago, I taught my first Bible study, and it was on trusting God. And I put it together because it's so difficult to trust God. And so as I was preparing this lesson, I thought, my God, I'm 20 plus years. I've been walking with the Lord over 25 years. And yet, it's still difficult for me to trust God. And so I thought, as I was putting this together, let's just figure out, as we listen to all the speakers, you can just see God's hand and his faithfulness. But why should we trust him? You know, he's given us promises in this word. Full of promises. You need to find your promises and stand on those promises. He's got personal promises for each one of you. But you know, everything changes. People in our lives come and go. Health changes. Careers change. Jobs change. Everything changes. But guess what? God said something about himself. Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord and I do not change. There's no variation in him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And contained within that is that it's impossible for him to lie. So I want to really talk to you today about the security in his promises. Now, if I make you a promise, it probably will happen, but there's a chance it might not. I can lie. Now, the Bible doesn't say he does not lie. It says he cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So that should be enough for us, right? But God knew us. And he knew in our humanity. It's not that I don't believe he can do it. I often wonder, will you do it for me? And so he knew that. And guess what he did? He secured the promise with an oath. And that's Hebrews 6:12-18. Take a look at it. It's incredible. God looked around, and he saw there's nobody greater than me. And so I'll make an oath with myself. That's incredible. That is awesome. He said, so help me God, to himself. So you got the promise. Now you got the oath that confirms it and secures it. But I also want to leave you with something else he did. I want to give you an acronym. It's PEG, P-E-G. PEG represents the Holy Spirit, who kind of holds all this stuff together for us. I want to read you a couple scriptures about PEG. P is for pledge. E is for earnest. G is for guarantee. So he left a down payment of his Holy Spirit. So that warm feeling, even we feel right now, is a down payment that you belong to him and he belongs to you. You are identified with him. And I'm going to read a scripture. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. That's 2 Corinthians 1:22. The Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians 1:14. So the Holy Spirit is not just that seal. He's the pledge, the earnest, the guarantee, the down payment, the first installment that the rest shall follow. We will inherit through faith. And Pastor taught us a lot about big faith. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. So what does it all mean? God has gone through great lengths to show us that we can trust him. We cannot fail. He's rigged the system in our favor. We can believe the promises. And so I believe there's some of you here today that some of those promises, maybe you've just decided, I don't want to believe them now. It hasn't come to pass, and so I just don't believe it. Or maybe you've put it on the shelf, and it's gathering dust. Take it off of the shelf. Believe again. You know what those things are. I have a question for you. What would your life look like, and mine, if from this day forward, we really trust God? That's it.
So good. I'll tell you what. So good, so good. You and I can take our hope and we can hang it on that peg, can't we? Amen, amen. We've got one more. Are you all ready for that? Now, our fifth and final speaker, last but not least, don't worry. He can speak to your mind. He can parse all your Greek verbs for you for a fee. He can opine on the difference between the hifil and the hophal verb tenses in biblical Hebrew. He can talk about translation errors in the Russian synodal versions. He's an amazing guy. He's got it all together up here. But he can also speak to your heart. He's a true pastor, and his greatest joy is to see you come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ together. He's the Ukrainian sensation. He's the master of theology. And ladies, when he comes up, there's no ring on this finger, so make sure you take note of that. He's the one and only Pastor Ilya Manzik.
Come on. Thank you, Pastor Ben. I appreciate that. Yeah, I wasn't going to come up here. It's really diversity hour because I wasn't going to come up here to tell y'all about how I met my wife here. You know, that hasn't happened yet. But, you know, she might be somewhere else. I'm okay with that. Dallas is a good place to be single. But what's funny is that as Aubrey's come up, as Kim, as everyone that's spoken has come up, we didn't know what we were going to say ahead of time. And yet there is a string going through the message that the Holy Spirit is superintendent for y'all to hear today, and I want to keep that going. In 2013, February, I was finishing out my senior year of college. God placed the desire in my heart to serve him full time. And I knew that right then and there, seminary was in the works for me. My brother-in-law and my brother were already here in Dallas, and so the decision was easy. And as I was leaving, I had it all planned out. I had a plan, right, for success. It was a 2-year plan. All right, I was going to go to Dallas. I was going to get a 2-year Master of Arts degree. I was going to come back to Sacramento. I was going to get married. I was going to serve in the church. And things were going to be great. I was loving my future life. You know, I was loving it. It was going well. And yet, God's plan was a little different, right? Within a few months of just being here, I realized, man, this is where you're supposed to be. You got to stay here. Switched programs to the 4-year program, so now I'm in here for the long haul. But even then, I'm thinking, all right, you know, you're going to be here for the 4 years, and you're going to go back. There's going to be a job waiting for you. You're going to serve the community you grew up in. But as time went on, I slowly started to realize that that might not be the case. As a matter of fact, those doors were all closing. Those speaking opportunities that my buddies were getting, I wasn't getting. Those opportunities to speak at this conference or that conference that my other friends who didn't go to seminary, they were getting them. You know, here I am, like, flipping through the Word, doing the hifil and the hafal till my brains are, I'm going to blow my brains out at 2 in the morning. And yet it's not happening. I'm like, God, like, what's going on? What's your plan? And to make things worse, people would say, oh, what church do you go to? And the honest answer is, I don't go to church. I'm working every single Sunday. I'm off in Lubbock, in El Paso. Y'all know if you've ever been to El Paso, you missed that exit, and you're in Ciudad Juarez. Like, I was selling T-shirts. I sold T-shirts all across Texas, Oklahoma, went as far as Virginia, which was great. God was providing, but I wasn't part of any church. I was going to a church here, a great church, but I wasn't really doing anything. And so here I am, stepping into my final year as a seminary student, right, who's supposed to be this big shot pastor, whatnot. Don't go to a church. no opportunities. I'm like, God, what's going on? You know, what's your plan here? Because I don't see it. At that moment, it was difficult for me to see what God was doing. And yet, as we talk about the faithfulness of God, something that really sticks out to me, a lesson that I've learned time and time again, is God is faithful, as Aubrey said, to himself. God is not on your team. We get to be on God's team. And I see that so well. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 9. I can't not go to the text. DTS has just instilled that in me. You're in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. And what we have here is this story where Jesus is coming down from the mount, right? A few of the disciples have got a glimpse of the glory. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and there's his disciples. They're having an argument. Jesus comes up, says, "What are y'all fussing about? What's the argument?" Someone comes up to him and says, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out. But they could not." Jesus says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Strike one. Faithlessness. Where's the faith of the people? Your disciples couldn't do it. Man, you guys are big shots going all around Galilee, but I don't see it now. What's up? Strike number one, faithlessness. They brought him to him, right? Then they saw him. Immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foamed at the mouth. He asked the Father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He tells him this is happening to all the time. It tries to kill him all the time. Jesus, "Teacher," he says, "if you are able, heal my son." Jesus says, "If I am able," strike two, "if I am able," right? You got this whole story of the Israelites, right? Jonathan was talking about it, just faithlessness in the midst of God's faithfulness. How's the guy going to respond to that? So strike two, you got to wonder, how is this story going to end? Right, Jesus is already kind of irritated. You know, he's like, "Dude, get a clue, man. Like, you know, just, you know, fake it till you make it, but, you know, believe it or something." But he says, "Look, Jesus, if you can do anything, heal the boy." This is what Jesus does. I love it. Brings the kid over. He says, "When he saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.'" And guess what they do? They look at the boy and say, "You killed him." Strike three. Y'all are out, all right? Y'all are out, all right? Your disciples couldn't do it. If you're able, do it. And then Jesus does the very thing they ask, and they say, "You killed the boy. We want you to heal him." They're murmuring. And Jesus brings the boy up. He's not dead. What I love about this story is the Father's response to Jesus that, honestly, I can relate to. Jesus says, if you believe, all these things are possible to him who believes. And the Father says, "Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief." This story, if nothing else, shows me that the promises of God, who he is, right? God is faithful to himself. We get to be a part of that because in God's wisdom, we are a part of his will. God does not change. He is who he is. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we are place our faith in God. We place our faith in his plan. About a year left before I had to graduate, I decided, look, I got to get plugged in somewhere. God, this isn't looking like what I thought it was going to look like, but you know what? I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Messaged my brother Andre, said, "Hey, can you see if Ben, because I knew Ben worked at Trinity, my family went here, can you see if Ben wants to, you know, meet up with me, grab some coffee?" We ended up meeting together. I said, "Look, man, you know where I'm at. Seminary students. We're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. We want to serve, right, but we don't want to come off as entitled because we're seminary students. But at the same time, we're going to seminary, so we kind of need some opportunities to maybe teach or something." And Ben said, "Dude, come on board. Let's start a Bible study." 8 months later, Stuart left to North Carolina to plant a church. Got hired on here to do the college ministry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. All right. Graduated May 12th, May 14th, started here full time. God is good, y'all. If you would have told me that God's plan for me was going to be, I wasn't going to be back in Sacramento 5 years later. I wasn't going to be with so-and-so. I don't know if I would have left. But thank goodness that God's not faithful to my plans. God's faithful to the plans he has for me and the plans that he has for y'all. So as a church, look, we cry out, Lord, I believe, but it's okay sometimes to say, but help me with my unbelief, all right? Thank you.
Yeah, put your hands together. Woo. So good, so good. I especially like the part of that story where you talked about how great I was and how great foresight I had and seeing what he had to offer. So, nah, that was amazing. That was amazing. Y'all impressed by the stories of God's faithfulness in the lives of these people? Are you encouraged? Good, good. The truth is, friends, that if God can be faithful to them, if God is faithful to his plan in their lives, he's going to be faithful to his plan in your life as well. And you can take that to the bank. Our God is faithful, amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Let's lift our hands to God and just pray. Let's just thank him for his faithfulness. Father, we thank you that you are faithful, that you do what you say you're going to do, that you are who you say you are. God, that in you is no deceit, is no shadow, is no change, God. You are the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And we thank you for that and we rejoice in it. Lord, I pray a blessing on these people this week as they go forth into their homes, into their businesses. God, that you would let whatever they put their hands to prosper, Lord, and that you would reveal your faithfulness to them in each and every aspect of their lives, each and every day. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. One last thing before you go. Was this fun today? The fun doesn't have to stop. Friends, VBS starts tomorrow. If you've got kids, make sure they are signed up. If you've got grandkids, call their parents and make sure they are signed up. But do not miss the chance to send your kids to VBS starting tomorrow morning. It's been awesome. Bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.